Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. The message you'll be hearing today is entitled, Where's the Praise? I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
All right, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. So if you missed last week, I spoke to you on the subject of joy and asked you this question, where's your joy? Where's your joy? And so just to kind of a recap last week's message, because it's going to tie in together with this week's message, Christians should be the happiest people on earth. So we should be the happiest people on earth. Why? Because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's evidence that we've yielded our lives to the Holy Spirit. When you read about fruit in the Bible and Jesus, he said that a branch cannot make fruit in itself. It's impossible. It's got to be connected to the root, right? It has to be connected to the tree in order for it to produce fruit. So we have to be connected to the Holy Spirit. And if we want true joy in our lives, that's going to come from a life that is yielded to the Holy Spirit. James said this, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now that don't sound fun to me. Count it all joy. To me, that doesn't make sense. You know, why would I count it all joy when I'm going through stuff? How many of you have been through stuff before? That's no fun, is it? But the Bible says differently, to count it all joy. See, joy is a spiritual attribute, and it's connected with our source. And again, yielding ourselves to his life-giving power and experience joy even in difficult situations. We can experience joy in difficult situations. Remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So this morning I'm going to piggyback on last week's message of where is your joy. I'm going to ask you a similar question, but where's your praise? So Psalms 100, it's a song, isn't it? It's a psalm, it's a song, and it's a song of thanksgiving. It's a song that should be sang, right? We sang it. It's a song that should be sang with joy. It's a song that when the psalmist was writing it, it wasn't something that was melancholy. It wasn't something that was relaxed. It's something that was to be sang with joy. So let's look at it. Verse 1, Psalms 100, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and bless his name. Verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever, or his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Praise is defined this way, as admiration or respect towards deity, a joyful recounting of all God's done on our behalf. There's only one problem with that definition. Praise should not always be looking back. Are you following me? Praise, there's nothing wrong with praising God for what he's done, correct? I mean, we should do that. We should praise God for his faithfulness, for his goodness, for the things that he's done. But we should be looking forward as well, correct? And as you heard last week when we were talking about joy, why can't this be the good old days? Why can't these be the good old days that we enjoy today? It's the same way. Why can't we praise God for what he's doing now as well? See, we praise God for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's doing for us as well. Praise should never be stuck in reverse and looking backwards. Praise is necessary in all tenses, past, present, and future. We should praise God again for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. Praise is an expression of joy. Praise is a spiritual discipline. Praise is expressive. The Bible says to praise God in a dance, that we are to praise God with leaps of joy. We are to praise him with hand claps, shouts of joy. Those are just a few expressions that follow praise. So praise is also expressed in our gratitude. Don't allow praise to become one-dimensional. I think that's what we do. We get comfortable with one dimension of praise, and that's the one we practice. There's the danger in that because it becomes very religious, very carnal if we're not careful. So praise can become one-dimensional, or we can allow praise to be circumstantial. If it takes the right song at the right time, at the right place, to coerce you to praise, there's something very wrong with your praise. In fact, your praise is very shallow. If your praise is based on circumstances, it's shallow. It's not deep. Okay, in fact, it's very fleshly. Church, God is worthy of our praise. It don't matter what's going on, what's being played. It doesn't matter because he alone is worthy of your praise. Praise should be prophetic. I didn't say pathetic. I said prophetic. And don't get scared of the word prophetic. Sometimes we hear the word prophetic these days and we're like, uh-oh. You know, this, just because someone's abused that word, don't allow it to be taken out of biblical terms. Are you following me? So praise should be prophetic. What does that mean? Our praise should be filled full of faith. It should be hopeful. It should be confident. Our praise should be a joyful celebration of the blessings and the faithfulness of God in the future. I'll give you an example. Some may say this, I'm praising God by faith. Have you ever heard that? What are you saying? It's a prophetic praise. What we're saying is this, I'm praising God for a healing, but I haven't received the healing. See, that's praise that is prophetic, that we're patiently trusting God. We're celebrating his healing power, even though we haven't experienced that power, even though we haven't experienced that healing yet. So praise should be prophetic. It's putting our trust into God for his healing power. At some point in process of healing, unless someone lays hands on you, unless you have an encounter with God where he miraculously and instantly heals you, if there is a process of healing, you're going to have to inject praise in there somewhere. God is attracted to faith, church. He's in faith. Listen, praise is an expression of faith as well. So God is attracted. When you begin to thank God for things that are not as though they are, God is attracted to that. See, throughout the Bible, praise is communicated, it's presented, it's demonstrated, however you want to say it. It's boisterous, it's joyful, and it's this, it's uninhibited. Some of you already get cautious when we use that word, but praise is not solemn. Are you hearing me? Praise is not solemn. It's joyful. Praise is exciting. Praise is expressive. It's in honor of a God who is worthy. Isn't our God worthy, amen, of a sacrifice of praise? Put your egos aside and praise the Lord, amen? Praise is active. It should not be different from what is expressed in God's word. See, if we believe the word of God is infallible, that it's inerrant, that it's inspired, then there should be a praise discrepancy. All right, look at Psalms 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Those are choices, by the way. Those are decisions. Those are actions that we take in our praise towards God. Let me ask you this. When's the last time that some of you made a joyful shout to the Lord? When's the last time? You say, well, there's nothing to be joyful about. Wrong answer. You got breath in your body? You have a reason to shout, amen? See, that's a choice. The Spirit of God doesn't have to come upon you to make a joyful shout. See, it's a decision. It's not based on a mood. It's a sacrifice of praise because it's a joyful choice. It's not fake. It's prophetic. It's hopeful. A shout of praise can be offered to God when things aren't going well. Why is it that we want to praise God when things are going good? See, because we base it on emotions. It's spiritual. It's something that takes, it's a spiritual discipline. Some of us are really good at public praise. Some of us in this room, some of us that aren't in this room are really good at public praise. When we go to a football game, we're good at public praise. We praise the players for their efforts. Some of us shout at the top of our lungs, praising them for their efforts. It amazes me. We'll lift up a joyful shout for a touchdown, but God forbid we should ever do that in church. Oh, God forbid that we should. That's just emotionalism, really. I call it hypocrisy. This is hypocritical in its worst form. We give praise to the creation rather than the creator. Listen, if you have more freedom to be joyful and expressive at a football game than in church, something's wrong. Something is wrong with you. Something is wrong with the environment. See, maybe someone is celebrating with a joyful shout because they didn't mess up this week. Maybe someone is celebrating, shouting because they had a breakthrough that you have no clue about. Maybe someone has received an answer to prayer and you're saying, man, look at that person. Why are they acting that way? Because you haven't been where they're at and you haven't been where God's met them. See, maybe someone else is celebrating the goodness of God, and we get offended by that. Some of that is just not your business. It's just not, and that shouldn't be your focus. Your focus should be on God, amen? Listen, Jesus never hushed anybody who praised. In fact, just the opposite happened. Luke 19, verses 39 and 40, and some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered them and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Some of us behave more like Pharisees than disciples. Church, we're children of God. We're followers of Jesus. Jesus was not some old fuddy-duddy. Jesus was full of joy. Why do I know that? Joy, again, is an attribute of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, again, is trying to create Christ in us. So if the Holy Spirit, if the attribute of the Holy Spirit is joy, guess who Jesus was? Jesus was full of joy. Some of us can go to a football game and we can raise sand like a drunken sailor over a missed call, all right? But come Sunday, when it gets time or someone gets a little loud, we condemn that action as emotionalism. Now that is hypocrisy. That's hypocrisy. Rocks will cry out in your place. God created us for praise, amen? And I know praise goes beyond just an expression, but if we can't get that one right, there's something wrong. Praise is biblical. When it's biblical and it's not over the top, when it's not self-gratifying or overly distracting, we shouldn't be worried about praise, amen? Listen, that's the shepherd's job. No one here has to be the praise police. You don't have to investigate a crime. When someone gets a little loud, when it's a little quieter, you should be like, all your attention shouldn't be on that person. Your attention should be upon God, amen? Do you know how many verses in the Bible are dedicated to praise and associated with an expression? It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. Praise is not solemn. It's not silent. Praise always has an expression attached to it. Church, where's our praise? Praise is evident, and you can't hide it. So you can't hide praise. And if it's hidden, there's a reason for it. Then why is praise hidden? Why is praise being shut down in your life? Why is an expression of praise not allowed to be flowing? Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Amen? In the Old Testament, the gates and the courts, they were physical structures, but they served as a type and a shadow of heavenly things. So the tabernacle, the temple, both had gates. They both had courtyards where the worshiper would enter in and offer up thanksgiving and offer up praise. As you walk through those doors this morning, did you have joy in your heart? Did you have joy in your heart as you walk? And you say, well, is that really the same thing? I think it's a good place to start. I understand there's a spiritual aspect to this, but let's just go to the physical. Did you even walk through those doors with joy in your heart? Did you come with an expectancy to praise God? Did you come with thanksgiving in your heart? Did you come ready to give God praise and glory? Well, Pastor, I may not be as expressive as some folks. On the inside, I'm praising God. Have you ever heard someone say that? Wrong answer. Wrong answer. I'm sorry. That's an oxymoron. See, praise is expressive. Praise is expressive. Praise is not silent. Praise is active. And praise is not about you, by the way. See, we bring a sacrifice of praise. That means this. There will be times where you don't want to praise God, but you know what? It's a sacrifice of praise, amen? Get over your false humility and humble yourself truly before God and give him a sacrifice of praise. See, sometimes our praise, it's contradictory. There's a contradiction that takes place with praise. Sometimes we come through those front doors, and I see this happen. We'll be hugging, we'll be howdying, we'll be high-fiving, shake hands, whatever. We'll have joyful interactions between each other. That's good, by the way. Keep that up. Friendly, happy, joyful. But as soon as we come together and the music starts, it changes. Now, what's up with that? No, I'm seriously. Well, I don't like the song. Wrong answer. Praise is not circumstantial. It's a choice, church. It's a choice. Whether we sing a cappella or with full orchestra, it should not matter. Your praise does not fluctuate on that situation. God alone is worthy of your praise, a sacrifice of praise. It's an oxymoron. Again, get rid of your false humility. You're in church, for crying out loud. This is where we celebrate the goodness of our God. Amen? Praise should not be a contradiction. Praise that happens out there in the foyer or out on the streets, fellowship, that should just be a natural overflow into the presence of God when we come together as a corporate body to praise. Don't shortchange Jesus. Don't shortchange him. He's worthy. He's worthy of your praise. I want to challenge you, every person in here, to enter to those gates, enter to those courts with thanksgiving. Everything. Just bring it to him and just worship him. See, I believe, and I know almost every person in here feels the same way. God's word is inerrant. It's authoritative in all matters of faith and conduct. Then why isn't our praise and in line with God's word? Why? I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I'm trying to encourage you. You have the right to praise God in this church. Amen? Too many of us, we have the spirit of heaviness. We need to put on the garments of praise. Amen? Draped in the heaviness of religion. Draped in it. My God, in Pentecostal churches, that should not be. That should not be that we're draped in religion. See, religion is heavy. There's no freedom in it. Religion gets ugly, gets nasty, it hinders praise. Psalms 150, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance, my goodness. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The reason why he said it twice, in case you missed it the first time. Praise the Lord, church. Let's praise the Lord in this church. Amen. Let our praise be in line with God's word. Religion is something that if we'll allow it in the area of our praise, will become a stronghold. What's hindering our praise specifically at Holt Assembly of God? Sometimes our praise is obstructed by self-imposed hindrances. I'm going to say that again. Self-imposed hindrances. What are some self-imposed hindrances? The music is too loud. The music is too soft. The music is too slow. The music is too fast. The music is too old. The music is too new. This is just some. The list goes on and on. See, a sacrifice of praise goes beyond all that. If we'll get ourselves in line with God's word, these things should have no influence whatsoever over our praise. Most praise are self-induced, self-imposed. And we deal with our personal preferences the wrong way when we should bring a sacrifice of praise. So you can go home, praise God however you want. But that doesn't mean that you can opt out of praise here. See, if so, just stay home. Seriously. If we're going to be that nasty, just stay home. There's some clanging gongs when we do that. There's some gongs. There's something out of rhythm. See, when we could come and we can't praise together, there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. A few years back, there's a well-known pastor's wife. She got raked over the coals for a statement she made. Christians just raked her over the coals for something that was taken completely out of context. She was talking about how praise affects us in a positive way. And it does. Praise should affect you in a positive way, yes? Now, it's not the prime product, but it's the byproduct. So she was talking about how our praise affects us in a positive way. When we lift up God beyond our own circumstances and exalt him, it makes us feel differently. Of course it does, genius. When you can get your mind off your junk and get your mind on God and worship him, it changes things. See, that shouldn't be our motivation, but it is a byproduct. Lady, she got crucified over her comments, taken out of context, misconstrued, but here's the hypocrisy. Here's the hypocrisy of those same people that were raking her over the coals. Many churches, it is about how you feel. Praise is determined on how you feel. See, today we're dealing with skeleton crew during worship, and your praise was hindered because you allow self-imposed. I love that it was like a living illustration before. I thought, oh, they're illustrating my sermon, because I could just sense in the environment. See, you allowed that. I'm serious. You allowed something to distract you. Don't allow that to happen, church. Listen, if something's not on beat, or something's not right, or someone's off key, that should not change. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a musician. I have this ear. You know what? Surrender it. Surrender that garbage, and you just come and be a worshiper, amen? Come to be a praiser. Come to exalt God. You say, I don't have anything to exalt God about. You got life. You do. You have blessings. You have promises. You have a reason to celebrate. See, when we praise God first and we glorify Him, everything else comes into alignment. It comes into alignment. I'm not trying to say that everything's perfect, but I'm saying everything comes into alignment when we praise Him first. But when we make praise and worship about us, the volume's too high, the volume's too low, the familiarity of the song is not what I like, and we refuse to participate, that's a self-imposed hindrance, and you're robbing yourself. And I'll tell you this, you're robbing everyone else around you. Church is not about you. It's not about me. It's about God, amen? It's about worshiping our Savior. There are times I'm down there, I forget the words. Even though the words are right up there, I don't like getting distracted. I just sing my own words. You are allowed to sing your own words. Seriously. Sometimes I like my lyrics better. There's nothing wrong with it. The part that participate. Enter in, amen? I mean, you might smile a little bit more if you do that. I'm just saying, don't allow self-imposed stuff to disrupt the praise for God. Don't stand there or sit there like a bump on a pickle because we're not praising in a manner that you like. God is worthy of a sacrifice of praise, amen? What are some real hindrances in our worship? When people gather together for praise, and a group within the group choose not to praise. When we impose, and I don't think we mean it, but it's true, and I'm just going to speak right to it. See, when we impose preferences, we mess things up. We just mess things up. The very people who can't enter into worship for whatever reason are the very people that will sometimes hinder the worship, hinder praise. It's too loud, it's too old, it's too new, it's not to our liking. Remember, people are created to give God praise. The people who create religious hindrances because their own personal preferences are just creating bondages for themselves. Listen, when we prevent praise, it becomes religious. When we prevent praise, it becomes personally driven. Listen, we don't enter into those gates with thanksgiving. See, God is not praised because of circumstances. Good days, bad days, God is worthy of praise. Amen? It doesn't matter the circumstance. If you're waiting for an environment, for a circumstance that's just perfect, that's not going to happen. See, God is worthy no matter what the circumstance is. When Paul and Silas were ministering in Philippi, they encountered a slave girl. She was a fortune teller. She was possessed by a spirit of divination, right? A spirit of divination. And the girl followed Paul and Silas as they ministered in Philippi, and it harassed them. It was hindering their ministry. And so finally, the two got tired of the spirit speaking. They rebuked the spirit. The girl was released from the bondage of that spirit. Unfortunately, she's a fortune teller. She's a slave. The master makes money off of her fortune telling. Now the slave is rendered useless to him. So what does he do? He has Paul and Silas brought up in charges, thrown in jail, thrown in prison. Let's join that here in Acts 16, verse 20. And they brought them to the magistrates and said to them, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Verse 22, "Then the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods." Verse 23, "And when they had laid many stripes on them," and often you die from the stripes themselves, "they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely." Verse 24, "Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." It's Paul and Silas, before this story takes place, they're led by the Spirit to go into Europe. There's no doubt they're doing exactly what God's called them to do. God spoke to them, said, go into Macedonia. They go into Philippi. They're ministering. They're there by God's calling. They're obeying God. They're being obedient to God. How many of you ever been trying to be obedient to God and find yourself in a bad place? Have you ever done that before? Hey, guess what? It's going to happen again. See, you can be doing the right thing and still fall into a tough situation. So they're doing exactly what God's called them to do. They provide, now take this, they're preaching the gospel. They're having success. They give a girl freedom. This girl is bound by a spirit of divination. She's bound by a demonic spirit. And as a result, they're arrested. Now, we would be ready to celebrate. And these guys are thrown into prison, stripped, beaten with rods, whipped, placed in the bowels of the prison, bound in stocks. That's their circumstances. Circumstances beyond their control. They're following God, doing God's will, and they are taken prisoner. That's the situation. How would you like to be in prison in a foreign nation? No due process. No one knows you're there. No one cares you're there. And you're bound. I mean, how lonely would that be? How isolated could you feel then? How could you say, I'm following God. I'm serving as a missionary. God's called me to this nation. I'm doing exactly what God's called me to do. And I get beaten and thrown into prison and forgotten. And I'm probably going to die here. That would be our attitude. I'm sure that we just read part of the story. I'm sure they struggled with this at some point in their incarceration. They're bound in a Roman prison without any type of legal representation or due process. How would we feel like in that situation? Well, here's what happened, right? You know the story, verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosened. Don't tell me that praise doesn't change environments. It does. Praise does change an environment. They didn't allow circumstances to hinder their praise. Praise was based upon a decision. We're going to praise God no matter if we're in jail or not. The circumstances are not going to control how I praise God. See, praise from the heart. Praise that's filled with thanksgiving. Praise in spite of the circumstances. Praise that is sacrificial is most satisfying to our God. When things aren't to our liking, and we say, I'm going to bless God anyways, God says, that's what I want to hear. That's a grown-up. That's a mature saint. That's someone who has gotten over themselves and said, you know what? There's something bigger than me and more important than me. See, praise can bring transition. At midnight, midnight's the point of the day, right? One day closes and a new day begins. Transition. One day ends, a new day begins. There's transition there. They went from breakdown to breakthrough. Breakdown to breakthrough. Praise can help you break through, church. Some of you need transition. Some of you need a breakthrough. Praise is going to help you. I'm not saying it's the answer to all. I'm not saying that today if we have the altar, we come down, you come down, praise the Lord, and you do it in whatever fashion that you're going to instantly have a breakthrough. I don't know that. I'm not God. But I can tell you this, just sitting back there ain't going to do nothing. Faith has action, does it not? See, why is it that we want to tie faith with action to salvation, but we don't want to do it to praise or any other situation? Because are we afraid? Again, don't be the praise police. That's my job. My job is to shepherd the sheep, amen? That's my job. That's not your job, amen? Just worship the Lord. Praise Him. See, when we praise God by faith in impossible circumstances, God shows up, foundations are shaken. Circumstances are shaken. When we choose to praise God despite our situations, God can loosen. Because that's an act of faith. God says, you know what? They have no reason to celebrate right now. Jesus especially. Listen, He put on flesh. He knows what we go through. He knows what we struggle with. And when He sees someone that is in a situation where He knows the flesh has no desire to do exactly what it's doing, but it cries out to God, and it praises God no matter what, in spite, He goes right there. That's a heart, that's a child of God right there. That's a son or a daughter. God is attracted to that, church. See, when we choose to praise God despite our situations, bondages can break off of us. Bondages. Absolutely they can. Bondages can break off of us. Don't allow yourselves to be chained any longer. Chained silently by religion. Paul and Silas, they're in that place where they could just cry themselves to death, basically, and allow the power of the situation to overtake them. But what did they do? We're going to choose to praise God anyways. We're going to praise Him in this prison in chains, wasting away. No one knows we're here. No one cares we're here. we're going to praise God anyways. And that catalyst, that was the catalyst, that was the result of other people being set free. See, praise can affect our surroundings. Our participation or our lack of participation can change the environment in which we worship and we praise. No matter what has happened in our lives, there's power in praise. Praise has power. Why does it have power? Because it's an expression of faith, and God is attracted to faith. Praise is hopeful. It's expectant. It's confident in God. It declares that all things are possible. That with God, all things are possible. I'm celebrating this fact because what I'm going through could be pure hell. But God can deliver me out of those circumstances, and I praise him for that now. So that's a choice. That's a decision. God honors his word. Church, where's your praise? Where's your praise? Some of us are locked, again, in self-imposed prisons. Why? Why? Why do that? Because our flesh seeks comfort. Well, I don't like this. I'm familiar with this. I'm not. Why do you allow that? Don't allow your flesh to dictate how you're going to worship and how you're going to praise God. Amen? Because if that's the case, you'll become more and more bound. John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus has promised you freedom. Walk in it. Amen? Praise in it. Worship in it. Celebrate in it. Pray in it. Every aspect of your life, live in that freedom. No matter what we're singing, no matter what it sounds like, worship him, praise him. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Jesus has made you free. Do not get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What's that saying? You have a choice. You can get tangled. It is not going to come up on you. Bondages just don't jump on you. Are you hearing me? You decide to get in them ropes and those chains. Some of us are chained, self-imposed prisons, bound by religion, bound by pride, bound by mistaken identity. Seriously, mistaken identity. You don't know who you are in Christ. You don't realize who you are in Christ. You are a son or a, if you are born again, you are a son or a daughter of God. You have certain rights. You have certain privileges. God's given you certain honors. Do you think that you honestly believe that you can go through a trial and not praise God, he's not going to hear you? The righteous cry out, the Lord hears them. If you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, he hears you. God wants to bring you to freedom, some of you. Freedom in this area of your spiritual life. In chains. Some of us are in chains because of ongoing sin. Some are self-imposed in the way that it's religious, that it's more flesh familiarity. And others, it's just we're bound by sin. God doesn't want anyone bound in sin, amen? He does not want his sons or daughters bound in sin. See, this is what happens. When our hearts aren't right, and I'm speaking from personal experience, when things aren't right here, it's very hard to worship God as I should. It's hard to praise God. See, now this is the time where I really need to be honest. You need to be honest. Seriously, you need to be honest with you and God. It shouldn't matter who's up here preaching or who's around. You're in church. This is family. See, sin can be this. We sometimes we think, what's the big ones? It's murder, it's lust, it's stealing. No, you know what? Sometimes it's just a negative attitude that you have. I need you to just be honest with the Lord today. Sometimes sin in our lives, it hinders our praise. Because, see, the Spirit of God wants to deal with something. You don't have freedom. You're not able to go into those courts. You're not able to pass through those doors. Something's wrong. That should be a warning sign. Something's wrong. Self-examination. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, examine my heart, examine my life. Am I pure? Is my thoughts pure? Are my actions pure? And then listen, amen? And I'm telling you this, if you don't feel freedom, then you stay in that position. And if you run out of daylight, then the next day you spend time on your face before God, amen? You find out what's the reason. God will show you the reason. See, some of us just don't want to spend the time. We want a quick fix, quick answer. It doesn't work that way. Praise begins. True worship begins sometimes when we're just uncomfortable anyways. Sometimes the more familiar we are, that can be dangerous. Here's what I'm trying to say. It doesn't have to be to your liking. It just doesn't have to be to your liking. Church, deal with some things here. I'm begging you as your pastor. The Spirit of God wants to minister to some of you and in a powerful way. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what Jesus is saying. Look at this. Look, this is one of the first messages he's preaching. He comes out of the, the desert, the temptation, and he reads from the scroll of Isaiah, and he's going to a messianic prophecy. This is what the Messiah will do. This is what's been prophesied. This will be his ministry. Look what he promises. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Sometimes brokenheartedness will affect our praise. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Liberty to the captives. See, sometimes we think, well, I'm born again. I'm not a slave to anything. Paul says, do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Those bondages are just not religion, and just not chains go beyond that. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus promises liberty for the oppressed. He wants to heal the brokenhearted. I'm challenging you to fight through the bondages that pride causes. Humble yourself before God. Worship him. Exalt him. Praise him. Walk in the freedom that Jesus has given you. Don't get entangled with the flesh. Some of you, there's a transition that's available. Just walk in it. Just walk in it. I'm sure. I don't know if this is exactly true. I believe it is. I don't want to say it. Stand up here and use this illustration like it's fact. I'm pretty sure, though, it has some merit, some basis. I think I'm safe to use this as an example. Here's what I'm saying. When an elephant is young, a trainer will often put a chain, right, on his leg. You've seen this, in circuses and different things. There's a chain. That chain is tiny, isn't it? It's small. That elephant can break that, no problem. So when he's young, the trainer will put a chain around his leg, restrain it from moving too far. The elephant, when it's young, will struggle. It'll try to escape. It'll try to do it time after time. And after a while, it realizes that it can't escape. It's futile. And it gives in to the restraint. And it enables the trainer then to control the animal for the rest of its life with minimal restraints. Minimal restraints. From that time on, a chain, maybe a peg or some type of just type of metal into some concrete will keep it there. That animal has massive power. It can demolish those chains in a heartbeat. But it's been patterned. Are you following me? See, some of us, we've been patterned. We've gotten to a pattern where we allowed our praise to be hindered. And church, I'm telling you this, you're shortchanging God, you're shortchanging yourself, and you're shortchanging your church, amen? See, praise, God alone is worthy of our praise, amen?
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope it was a blessing to you. If this weekly program ministers to you, we would love to know. Write us, give us a call, or send us a message. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.